temptation is the normal activity of demons. Now, of course, not all temptations come from the devil. We have what is called concupiscence, or the inclination to commit sin. Temptation comes from the world, the flesh, and the devil. But even if a temptation doesn't come directly from the demons, they will exploit it. And this is something we all have to suffer from demons. It's a normal part of life. However, if we do things that we're not supposed to do, we can open the door to the extraordinary activity of demons: infestation, oppression, obsession, and possession. Before I get into these different activities, there are two very important things that need to be pointed out. First, the spirit world has rules, and God sets the rules. The demons are not free to do anything they want. Jesus has them on a leash. And they are like lawyers. They know the rules backwards and forwards. But the point is, don't break the rules and you won't have a problem. And the rules are, don't break the Ten Commandments, especially the first commandment. Dabbling in the occult, Ouija boards, tarot cards, witchcraft, Satanism, ghost hunting, seances, any form of spiritism or divination, etc., are all violations of the first commandment: thou shalt have no other gods before me. When we do these things, we give the demons rights to do the extraordinary activities. Second, even when the rules have been broken by us, the demons have to get permission from God to do anything beyond temptation. The book of Job, chapter 1, 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "Whence have you come?" Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not put a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself do not put forth your hand." When this doesn't work, Satan goes back to God to get permission to attack Job's health and gives him boils. Whether it's infestation, oppression, obsession, or possession, Jesus is right there telling the demons what they can and cannot do. Infestation, commonly known as a haunting, is when the demons have gained the right to do their extraordinary activity in a place or on a thing. Now, hauntings are one of two things. It is either a soul in purgatory whom God is allowing to make itself known in a particular place so that people will pray for its release, or it's demons or damned souls subject to the demons pretending to be this or that or the other, so people will try to communicate with it, thus allowing it to go further into that person's life and cause havoc. Nobody is trapped or lost after they died in need of help to move on. That's a trick of the devil. When a person dies, they go to their judgment in front of Jesus, and from there it's heaven, hell, or purgatory, and they don't need help getting there. God puts them there. A soul in purgatory is benign. It'll appear, then disappear. Maybe you'll hear footsteps or moaning, things to get your attention, but nothing harmful. A demon is malignant. It'll pull your hair, push you down the stairs, scratch you, and toss things around. A poltergeist is most definitely a demon. Unfortunately, in today's world, what might start out as a soul in purgatory haunting a place can quickly include demons because of ghost hunting. Which brings me to how demons get the right to infest a place. Extreme sin committed in the place, such as murder, or perhaps the place was a brothel, and if violations of the first commandment are done in the place, such as occult activities, witchcraft, or Satanism. This goes for haunted objects such as dolls as well. They become infested through the occult rituals, and it's always a demon. So what do you do if you find yourself in a haunted place? Pray the rosary for any souls in purgatory that might be there, and sprinkle holy water around. It'll either get better or get worse. If it's a soul in purgatory, it'll be grateful and perhaps be released. If it's a demon, it will either flee or get angry. You'll probably eventually need to get a priest to bless and or exorcise the place and perform masses there to help the souls in purgatory to be released and or drive out the demons. Do not go around with sage or call psychics, mediums, or ghost hunters. That will only invite demons. This is when the demons have gained the right to attack an individual because the person has done things they're not supposed to do, such as play with tarot cards, Ouija boards, consult psychics or mediums, and other forms of divination, practice witchcraft or Satanism. That's not to say that everyone who does these things is going to get attacked. That's up to God. However, the deeper you get involved in these things, especially witchcraft and Satanism, the more likely you are to get attacked. Of course, some saints throughout history have undergone oppression, obsession, and even possession through no fault of their own, but that was for their purification and to humiliate and punish Satan, not the individual. And that's rare. For most of us, stay away from those things and you won't have a problem. Oppression is an outside attack. A person loses their job, their finances go to pot, their relationships suffer, they seem to have a streak of really bad luck. Read the book of Job. That's oppression. And it can be at that level. Of course, this doesn't mean every time something bad happens, it's a demonic attack. Bad things happen. But if a stream of bad things seem to happen all at once out of the blue, you might want to see a priest. Oppression is actually a positive sign. It means God is not allowing the demons to attack the person interiorly. Obsession is an interior attack, where a person is bombarded with blasphemous, murderous, suicidal, and other unwanted thoughts and images. They also play around with a person's emotions, and they can give them infirmities. Because various mental illnesses can cause obsessive thoughts, it's important to get the person evaluated. But modern psychology tends to rule out any demonic cause and think everything is psychological. Father Chad Ripperger says that he has had tremendous success working with people diagnosed with bipolar disorder, even getting them off their meds. He's convinced that bipolar disorder is just demonic obsession. He also tells a story of an exorcist who began performing exorcisms in a mental hospital. Within a month, 80% of the patients were released with a clean bill of health, so it's not as cut and dry as take them to a psychologist first and see if they have a mental illness. The goal of obsession is to drive the individual to suicide or accept possession. A person can be oppressed or obsessed through no fault of their own. An ancestor, especially if they were involved in Freemasonry, might have cursed future generations for short-term gain. This is actually fairly simple to deal with. It is as simple as renouncing any agreements or curses that might involve them made by an ancestor. This is a good idea for anyone to do since most people have ancestors who were involved in Freemasonry. The way to break oppression and obsession is prayer, the rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy, and deliverance prayers. Lead a Catholic life, especially the Eucharist and confession, and renounce whatever it is that gave the demons their rights over the person. Confession is absolutely binding in the spirit world and breaks any agreements that might have been made. During exorcisms, the demons are not allowed to bring up any sins that have been confessed and absolved. All the exorcists say that confession is more powerful and effective than even exorcism. It's a good idea to get a priest involved in the deliverance process, but not necessary if the oppression and obsession isn't too severe. You may not be able to find a priest who takes these things seriously and is willing to help. Get blessed sacramentals, especially the St. Benedict Medal and Miraculous Medal. Frequent use of holy water, confession, and the Eucharist. Renounce and get rid of whatever the door opener was, Ouija boards, tarot cards, etc. Confess the activity, stop sinning as best you can, and pray your prayers. Daily rosary and the chaplet of divine mercy and deliverance prayers. Father Ripperger has a book of deliverance prayers, and there are a lot of good websites with deliverance prayers. Just Google Catholic deliverance prayers and say them, all of them, daily. It could take 30 or 40 minutes. It's not going to just go away with one saying of the prayers. It could take weeks or even months. But over time, saying the prayers every day, it'll get better, and then you'll go back to normal. I'm not saying don't go to a priest. In fact, I'm saying you should go to a priest. But if you can't find a priest who's willing to help you, you can do this on your own. And I'm saying this from experience. Possession is where the demons have the right to animate and speak through the person's body. Sometimes the person is aware of what's going on but has no control over their body. Other times they black out for a period of time while the demons have control. It's not that the demons are always in control. In fact, most of the time the person is normal, but they will have periods of time that the demons take over. And I do mean demons. It's never just one demon unless it's very early on. The person will be possessed by several lower-level demons, a few middle-level demons, and one high-level demon who's in charge, and he can be in charge in many possessions at once. Very rarely, a person will be possessed without even knowing it, but for the most part, at this point, the demons have given up the ruse. They're no longer pretending to be a god, lost soul, dead relative, a fairy, elf, aliens, or whatever they were pretending to be. They are admitting that they are demons and offer the person some temporary gain or an end to the suffering in exchange for the right to possess the person. Now you might say, who in their right mind would say yes to that? Well, some people want to be possessed. Those people never go to the exorcist except perhaps at the end of their life when the devil turns on them. He gave them money, he gave them power and fame, they thought he was their friend, but towards the end he always turns on them, and sometimes they go to the church for help. I think God makes the devil turn on them to give them one last chance. Some people have financial problems that the demons promise to solve, and they can. Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if he bowed down and worshiped him, and they were his to give. Others are offered sex, fame, riches, power, and others will do anything to make the suffering stop. Of course, the demons are lying. They'll come through with promises for a little while, but they eventually renege on the deal. With possession, exorcism is required, and I will go over that in my next video. Until then, God bless.